Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want, babe. It's what you need, babe. We about to give you more.
That's been pent up inside for years. Exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letters spill slowly across the page like a world premiere. We're lying, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe. Though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in a snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circuit. That's why you're nervous, and you gotta right to be, cause if somebody would have done that shit to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be, my sentiments exactly would be history, you know what I'm saying, hey, my people's in a place, let's count it off, 1, 2,
tell me what y'all
to
do, 3, 4, it's time for all of your, together, rock and roll, then you're rolling rock, then your rhymes to the rhythm and just don't stop, 5, 6, get up inside the mix, 7, 8, no time to hesitate, so let's rock and roll, then you're rolling rock.
Nothing changed, it's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies hard to swallow from the bitter taste, but that's a point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and shot or relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I clap. Count 1, 2,
tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all
your
suggestions. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate.
Back and undo our actions, change what happens, dissect the fractions, a time to rewind and be recorded absent, for real, cause these memories is photographic, pornographic, pushing me close to madness, head heavy like I'm tripping on acid tablets, yesterday as I recall was all fabulous, a thought so, but now I feel like shots hitting my torso, spent a lot of time and trust in the wrong place, fought a lot of fights, rolling with the wrong ace, love, stronger than pride, weaker than disgrace, I need room to think and space. But solid as a rock shall not disintegrate. Thoughts racing like they lunatics on the interstate. Rail, yeah. My people's in a place, tell me how to start.
1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all yours. And yes, rock and roll, then you're rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, it's time to motivate. Yes, rock and roll, then you're rolling rock.
And welcome to Conversations of a Sister here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Miss Tracy L. Bell, and I'm back. That's right, I'm back on the air. Tonight is official. We're back here at least for a couple of weeks before the holidays, but we're here. And it's been a minute, but I thank you for tuning in tonight, be it online or by phone, for tonight's conversation. So what's up out there in conversation land? There is so much going on, and so much has popped off this year But the highlight right now is the upcoming election, 2020, and we are also in the middle of this global pandemic, which, by the way, is not fake news. I don't care what you hear. It's not fake. It's very much real. And for those of my listeners who've lost a loved one, they know this. But here we are with the election just 6 days away. This year's election is the most important in our lifetime. That's what they're saying. But is this statement like a played out cliche? One mimicked by presidents and politicians every 2 years or every 4 years in hopes of driving their voters to the polls? Or are we really in the fight of our lives and the survival of democracy as we know it? Speaking of election 2020. Now, you know, I've been looking at a lot of things that my blog readers are saying, and they're quite shocked that I'm back, but they're glad that we're talking about election 2020, because this year, the decisions voters make next month, November, will reverberate for a generation to come through all three branches of American government and across the world. Yeah. My lines are open, and you can call in to add your 2 cents at 515-602-9679. Just press 1 for the host queue. How could I have someone in my host queue already? How is that possible? Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, ma'am. How are you doing?
Good evening. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
So what's your 2 cents regarding this election?
Yeah, I look at it and basically like a repeat of 2016, and I see all the same storylines in place where I look at Biden as Hillary Clinton 2.0, where you have an establishment Democratic candidate who's got some political corruption.
Wait.
You know, just
you
like
said Hillary Clinton 2.0? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, I feel like the Democrats had an opportunity. If they could have found an Obama 2.0, somebody young, somebody with good ideas, someone who had charisma that people would be excited for, but instead they chose an old establishment candidate who's got a long history of corruption, who's not that charismatic. And you're starting to see the same storyline where people are saying, like, I don't like either. No one's really excited for Biden. And now it seems like the Democrats' whole campaign is basically Trump's a bad guy, so vote for us. And that was the exact same thing they ran on in 16. And the other thing I'm seeing, too, is I feel like the media, once again, is not accurately gauging what's going on in the country as far as where the feelings are. It's unrepresented support in the Midwest. And I feel like they're sending people up again where it's false except by way out ahead. And I think, okay.
Cole, you're breaking up a little bit.
No, I was just saying that the media is once again failing to actually gauge the actual mood in the country. And they're underrepresenting Trump's support in the Midwest like they did last time. They're not really understanding what's going on in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And so because of that, they're giving Democrats and liberals this false expectation that somehow Biden's got this thing in the bag. And I feel like they're sending people up again. And people are going to be crushed on election night if they find out Trump wins again. And it's just, it's like 2016 all over again. I mean, I really don't see any difference.
You do know that in 2016 there was not a global pandemic, right?
Yeah, but I feel like the pandemic, when I look at it, it's like the impact on the vote, I don't see it being there as much, because I feel like the people that like Trump are locked in. The people that don't like him are locked in with Biden. And when I look at the people in the middle, and I really study a lot of polls on independents, and I've been watching a lot of you know, like, you know, Frank Luntz, I don't know if you know who he is, but every debate that they've had so far, he had hosted an event with LA Times where they had about 20 to 25 undecided voters. And they had them give in-depth reactions to the debates, how they viewed both candidates. And every time he's done that, I'm amazed how almost all the undecided voters have a very negative view of Biden. And a lot of them, by the end of the last debate, were almost all, it was like I think it was 90%, 95% of them were all leaning towards going with Trump. Yeah, so when I look at that, that tells me that, and what I noticed, the thing that really struck me, because they were asking them, you know, they had reporters come in and start asking people questions, and they were asking them, well, how do you think of, you know, Trump's handling of the coronavirus, and do you think it's his fault that the economy is this bad, and the situation, and almost to a T, every person, and they had people who were white, black, every background, and they were all, they didn't blame the president for the coronavirus. They felt like the same would have happened regardless of who had been president. And they were talking about how they felt the economy was prior to the pandemic. And when they asked everyone to raise their hand and say, who do you think will do a better job bringing the economy back post-pandemic? Everyone raised their hand and said Trump better than Biden bringing the economy back. So I looked, and you can check out polls on people's views of the economy. And that's the one area that Trump has strong approval ratings are handling the.
Well, I think that you have to also keep in mind, caller, that the reason why he has strong approval ratings with the economy is because he inherited a healthy economy. I mean, you can agree to that. You don't really know a person's ineptness until you actually put them in boiling water. And I think that the pandemic was the boiling water that made people be like, so he's just not doing well with this. What do you think about his denial of the coronavirus, saying that we're turning this corner and things are getting better when you have people dying every day? I mean, that's our reality right now. What would you think about that? Don't you think his handling of this pandemic has not been all that great, that he hasn't handled it well?
Yeah, for me, I go back to starting in January and working my way through and just looking at everything that happened, because I'm independent. I'm not Republican, Democrat, either one, so I just call it like I see it. And one of the things that struck me was in January, you noticed that people on both Republican and Democrats downplayed the virus. You had Nancy Pelosi going to San Francisco and Chinatown, encouraging people to calm down. There's nothing to worry about. Fauci was doing several interviews, you can look this up, in January, off on CBS News and other news outlets, saying that the coronavirus was no worse than the flu. You had officials out of New York, including de Blasio's health officials in New York City, saying the same thing. And by the time we get to the first week of March, when people started to pressure Trump on having to close down the economy, in my opinion, he was really reluctant to do it. And from what I could perceive was mostly it was coming from the Democrats and the media were pressuring him to say, lock down the economy. Shut everything down. And so I find it interesting now how Joe Biden, after the fact, is now being critical of Trump, saying he shouldn't have shut down the economy, when I remember at the time it was basically the Democrats who were the ones pushing Trump to shut down the economy. And he was also, because they were the ones pressuring him to do it. They said he should do it. I remember, because you remember, beginning of March, Trump didn't want to shut the economy down. And people kept saying, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? And the media was pressuring him really hard. And, like, my thing is, you can't have it both ways. So if the Democrats wanted the lockdowns, now you can't turn around and be critical and saying he shouldn't have did the lockdowns, or blaming him for the economy when the economy is like this because of the lockdown. If it wasn't a lockdown, the economy wouldn't be doing bad. So it's almost like people want it both ways with him.
Cole, I have to disagree with you on that. I think that the economy fell through because – you had people getting sick, and you had the virus being spread. So the only way to contain it was to lock down the economy. I mean, for those who were able to do their jobs from home, that was great. But then you had all of those frontline workers who became the heroes in this pandemic because they had to work regardless. But it was either shut down the economy or lose more people, because you had to do something to contain the virus. But I thank you so much for calling in, and I thank you for adding your two cents. And a lot of people are saying that. But the presidential contest alone will represent perhaps the starkest choice between two competing visions for the nation's future. And, I mean, this is since the elections of 1860. But this election for me, in my opinion, listeners, is about two things. Three things. COVID character and race relations. The coronavirus, which we've been living through for the past 7 months, going on eight, You know, as it is, the coronavirus has undoubtedly killed over 2 million people, and we're still counting. With the current administration in place, there is no real plan in place to get this thing under control. And I think the other day they just interviewed the president's chief of staff, who stated that is not the goal. The goal is not to contain it, but to just let it ride. And I think that is what frightens people. That and the fact that our president is just campaigning at these rallies and the virus is spreading like wildfire in Wisconsin and all of these other Midwestern states that the caller just spoke about. So you have Trump saying that he's flattening the curve and we're rounding the corner. I'm trying to figure out how. How are we flattening the curve, and how are we winding the corner? I mean, the United States is trending in the wrong direction regarding the coronavirus. And the president, in my opinion, maintains this denial on his campaign trail with his talking points. Let's get the kids back in school. Let's open up the state. But how are you going to do that in the midst of people dying? You have people dying left and right. Why do we close down the states? You just heard the caller. Why do we close down the states? Because you have people dying. You had the virus being spread. You had the virus airborne. We've heard so many different things. When you have people afraid of death, especially before their time, I don't know about you, but that's not something that you're going to take lightly. You're just not. And last Tuesday, the president was asked in a taped town hall with Sinclair Broadcasting Group one simple question. They said to him, is there anything that you think you could have done differently if you had a mulligan or a do-over? What is one aspect you would have done differently in handling the coronavirus? And the president said, not much. The president of the United States, faced with a still raging virus that has sickened 8.2 million Americans and counting and killed over 221,000 and counting, said not much. What would you have done differently if you could do things over? Not much. Really? How about not making mask wearing a political issue or letting the scientists lead our response to the pandemic? And yes, this president has made mask wearing a mask a political issue, a political stance. He's even mocking it. How do we know that he's doing this? Because some of the president's followers won't wear masks, because the president makes a mockery of wearing a mask. The president is making a mockery of coronavirus. He just said the other day, all you hear is COVID, 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 COVID. That's all you hear because people are dying. You cannot downplay the threat of a virus when it is killing people. You can't do that, especially when you didn't make it communicatable as far back as February. And I swear, I think the reason why some people may not take it seriously is because they don't have anyone close to them who died. I think that if somebody close to them died, maybe they would take it seriously. We're not saying live in fear. We're not saying to stop living, but we're saying to take it seriously. That's it. Fixing the testing process in America. How about that? Or showing any sort of empathy for the Americans who have lost their lives. He had coronavirus, and he talked as if it was a sneeze. I sneezed, and poof, it was over. No, that's not a reality. Best doctors, the best medications, and the best care. But the average American, the average schmojo from the street will not have the same thing. They will not. So it's not clear whether President Trump's not much answer is driven by pure tone deafness of his obsession with always being right and never admitting that he was wrong. Now, he was asked, the president was asked in July 2019, what his one do-over as president would be. And you know what he said? he said that his one do-over, his biggest mistake, was hiring Jeff Sessions to be the attorney general. Seriously? That answer alone was very personal. When people have lost loved ones due to this virus and will continue to do so, because now a second wave is raging throughout this country. In over 40 states, the coronavirus is raging. I'm pissed just by the fact that I have to wear a freaking mask in public, period. I'm pissed because life as we know it is far from normal. Adjustments in our lifestyles have to be made due to this administration's ineptness in handling this virus. This pandemic has proven the incompetency of this administration. But if people want to vote for him because they feel as though he's done well with the economy, really? Can you imagine what he'll do in the next 4 years? Maybe no one will be here. Maybe America will be split in half because the other half may be dead from the coronavirus. So why should this president get another 4 years in office? Well, check this out. According to Black Men for Trump, they believe they have nothing to win in this year's presidential race with either president, Trump or former Vice President Joe Biden. Black Men for Trump said the reasoning is based solely on the prospect of personal financial gain. This is what they said, especially in the stock market. I have some financially fit black men in my life who've also said Trump puts them in a favorable tax situation, whereas a vote for Biden does not. And with 1 week left, not even 1 week basically, left until this election, some experts say black men are a key demographic that could shock the country on election day and vote Trump back in surprising numbers. Yeah, this is what they're saying. So some black men that I've spoken to are very vocal about their interest and their beliefs, and that they are often an afterthought of politicians who assume that they will vote Democrat. In fact, new polling out of Texas shows that Trump maintains a narrow lead in that state, largely because of the black vote. Amongst likely voters, 47% of respondents said they would vote for Trump, compared to 43% for Biden. While gaining the black vote is often a priority for presidential candidates, black men, compared to black women, have shown a willingness to choose someone other than the Democratic nominee, or they just won't vote at all. I mean, you just heard my caller. He said he's not going to vote at all. He's independent, so he's not going to vote at all. You heard him, and this is what he said. In an article that I read from Black Men from Trump, they pointed out how black men should look for someone who actually is working to give them a fair opportunity to be an architect of their own future and their own upliftment. It should be someone who respects their human dignity and understands that they don't have to be wards of the state. And when I read that, I said, really? Wow. But in the meantime, we're being killed in the streets left and right. But some black men feel as though they've benefited from Trump's policies directly pre-COVID-19, especially in the blue-collar sector, they said. They said Trump has always been willing to have the conversation with the black community. So I want to be fair in saying the economy is one area in which Trump has fared well. But polls show that voters favor Trump over Biden when it comes to the economy and the stock market, even though experts say that Trump inherited a sound and healthy economy thanks to Barack Obama. But still, a number of celebrities and big businessmen have called into question Biden's plan to tax the wealthy. And in talking to this friend of mine the other day, he said that he don't think that black men or women should vote for either one of these candidates until there is a tangible plan in place for the black community as a whole. And that plan is actively being implemented. Then and only then should we cast our votes for such a candidate. But I would say it's too late. Because the election is, what, 5-6 days away? You have to vote. And whatever your plan and your beliefs is, you vote based upon that conscience. If you are to vote at all, on your conscience and your convictions, that is. So in response to Trump's repeated assertion, because, you know, he said, Trump said, President Trump said that he's the best president for black people since Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, that's what he said. Let's point to the rising death toll from the coronavirus, the surge in unemployment numbers, and Trump's frequent refusal to condemn white supremacists, and not to even mention the black men and women that are being killed, abused, and profiled in the streets every day. Yeah, no former president may have addressed that directly, but the record of this happening speaks for itself, and it needs to be addressed. So, I don't know. Will Trump win 4 more years? Will he win a re-election again? Maybe. Why do I think that? Because this America may not be ready for a Biden-Harris ticket. I mean, after all, Kamala Harris is half black. I thank you always, as always, for tuning in. You can like and follow us on Facebook at Conversations of a Sister. Or join the conversations that are always happening on my blog at conversationsofasister.com. Until next week, vote on Tuesday, November 3rd. Be well and peace.